You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Found a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I've been jumping up and down all day, Marco Bill. I feel like $1 million. I'm getting to look like $3 million. And hopefully I'll be worth $100 million before you know it.
That would be great. By the way, Mark from Louisiana did dial in. He's in.
Oh, is he with us tonight?
Well, he's on the air. He's on the line here. So.
Well, that'll be a wonderful thing. Well, we'll get to Mark later on here in a little walk down the road here. But, you know, I got to tell all you people. I made an announcement to you people a couple of shows back that I'm going to make an announcement on the 1st of February. Now, if you've got your ears on, you're going to hear a whole bunch. It's a long time coming. All of you naysayers, all of you doubters, well, sorry, but even what the Giffer gets one now and then, and I happen to get one. I'm going to dedicate this show to the man that got me into this crazy business, and I know there's a lot of people that don't like him, but he's a real man, a true Bigfoot researcher, one of the originals. Mr. Ivan Marks, he's gone. He's up there in the big sky. But, you know, I'm going to play a song, and I was listening to it today, and it just brought tears to my eyes. I want you to listen to the words. I want you to listen to the lyrics of this song. It was done over 30 years ago, folks. 30 years ago. It's never really been put out there. But I'll tell you, you need to listen to every word in this song. Here it goes.
I wasn't no bear tracker. Tom was a man of dreams. Heard he came along and I wrote the songs about a creature that few's ever seen. Monsters, myths, and mysteries. Legends, tales, and facts. He brought us all together, and it's a reason for that. Up in North California, where the redwoods reach the skies, three men with a gold and a pact that they hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Reason for the fact.
Monsters, myths, and mysteries. That's what brought them all together. That's right. It was Ivan Marks, Ernest Montiel, and myself, and, of course, Philip Morris that wrote the songs. Remember one thing. He did this 30 years ago.
Philip Marlboro.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Hey, Tommy, not Philip Morris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Philip Marlboro. Philip,
yeah.
Marlboro. Yeah, you're right, and thanks for the correction there, Marco Bill. Yeah. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a reason why I did this tonight, and the reason why I'm dedicating this show to my mentor, the man that's gone beyond, he's passed, but I gained a lot of knowledge from him. And the reason being is because now you people around the world, around the globe, will be able to see that movie. It's called In the Shadow of Bigfoot. We haven't released it. We released it now. And there's a thing that's going to be released. It released today, along with three other of our movies. And that, without any further ado, I'm going to get our friend, if I can call him our friend, my agent, my business manager, Mr. Mark Bosco from out there in Ohio. Mark, you out there?
Yes, I am, Tom. Thanks so much. I'm definitely your friend. And I learn a lot from you, as you say you learn from others. I've learned a lot over the past 5 years we've been working together.
Well, it means an awful lot to me, and for me to call you, my friend, believe me, you really got to go some, and you've reached that pinnacle in my life. And I want you, with your own words out of your own mouth, I want you to tell the people around the globe what was launched just today.
Today was launched on demand, what we're calling Bigfoot Week. This is literally the first time ever an independent film producer like yourself with a product that has gained international attention is having four films go out on demand at one time. This has never been done before. This was based on the smashing success of Bigfoot Lives in conjunction with just the audience appeal of these films and how each one that you've created and made has gotten better and better. And there's bigger and bigger audience demand for them. the release pattern mirrors what is the biggest success ever in TV broadcasting, which is Shark Week, and everybody knows about that. Now we have Bigfoot Week. Again, never, ever has been done before. It is based on the fact that these are Tom Biscardi films, and these are films that have built-in audiences, and the films deliver. And when people think Bigfoot, they think Tom Biscardi, so it was just natural to do. It just was a natural to do. So they're going out globally on demand, and I know you're going to have more news for the audiences next week about how this release pattern will grow to other media and other digital platforms. But right now, today, February 1, 2012, Bigfoot Week launched on demand.
You know, and thank you for that, Mark. It's a long time coming, as I said earlier. And, you know, everybody says, well, geez, how can, Tom, we don't have the money. But now they do. Everybody's got, you know, a $3 bill or a $4 bill, and they can do it in the comforts of their own living room right now, can't they, Mark?
Correct. And you know, all cable systems have an on-demand channel. You know, you basically, it sometimes is as easy as right on the remote, it'll say on demand. Other times, a lot of times it's channel 500 or channel 1000. Regardless, it's just the on-demand channel. It depends where you are, you know, geographically. And yeah, the films can be from $3 to $5. Very affordable. You can watch them in the privacy of your own home. You can watch them over a 48-hour period usually, so over and over. And you can watch all the films. So again, this is completely unprecedented. There has never been a programming a scheme like this ever before. We have never scheduled these kind of films all the same, all from the same person, all with the same audience, all the same subject matter. It's only been done via Shark Week. So this is really the first time this has ever been done, and especially done on this scale.
It's huge, isn't it?
It's massive.
You know, I cringe when I think about, my God, the millions of subscribers throughout the United States that's going to have this capability to do this. And, you know, I want to share something with you, Mark, and my audience here tonight, if I may. I got an email from this gal, and she says to me, Mr. Biscardi, she says, I never get tired of watching Bigfoot Lives, your original movie. And she says, just last week, I downloaded again on demand. I can't wait until the rest of your movies come out. And oh, by the way, this was the seventh time I have downloaded Bigfoot Lives. Is that not amazing or what?
Yeah, and you know what's funny, Tom, is that's sort of how we bumped into each other. I really do think that you have, with your passion, your experience, and your skill, are able to study something that I really truly believe everybody sort of taps into. We're all amazed and in wonderment of Bigfoot and the unknown. And you've created films in a way that allow us to enjoy that experience and see it through others' eyes and relate to it very well. And I think that's the power of these movies, and that's why they're so powerful. I think people like to watch them over and over because it gives them a good feeling. They think, yeah, I can relate to that. Or, wow, look at that one. I didn't realize that was going on in that region of the country. And the way you've created them make them very accessible so people who are across the country and across the globe can sort of put themselves in the place, because you cover everything, not just one place, not just one region where a Bigfoot sighting is or a mysterious monster has been sighted, but all over the globe. And that's the power of these, and that's why they're so successful. And that's why I think people like them. It's just a natural. They're fun to watch, they're informative, and you can relate very well to it. And you always pick something else up from it after numerous watchings.
And thank you for that. That's a great compliment coming from a person like yourself, Mark, due to the fact that you screen hundreds of movies from independent producers around the world. I have to tell you something else. Did you get a chance to watch Bigfoot Lives 3 yet?
Myself? Yes, I did.
What did you think?
You know, every time I think, okay, Bigfoot Lips 1, great production. Anatomy, great production. In the Shadow, great production. Bigfoot Lips 2, I thought, are you going to match Bigfoot Lips 1? You did. And now you topped it yet again with Bigfoot Lips 3.
Thank you for that. And you know, I got to tell you something. The ones that have done the pre-screening on Bigfoot Lives 3, they just, you know, they said exactly, they almost parroted or mirrored what you just said. They keep saying when, you know, they think that you can't put anything out anymore or find anything more out on Bigfoot, boom, Liscardi comes forth now with more footage of more incidents and encounters, and by the way, encounters that hit the news all around the world.
And that's what's so cool is, and you're exactly right. I think viewers, you know, when you go from one, Bigfoot Lives 1 into 2, you may have the expectation that you're going to see some of the same stuff over, like how much can you find. You watch Bigfoot Lives 2 and you're like, huh, unbelievable. All new stuff, all new revelations. So you think, he's not going to be able to do this again. But there he goes, Bigfoot Lives 3, the same kind of delivery. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's all good stuff. It's all better stuff. Once again, you did it all over again.
Mark, again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. How long do you expect this to be on demand?
On demand, well,
a year?
As you and your viewers know, the success of the first time we did Bigfoot Lives 1 did so well that we extended the play period on demand to 180 days. But the good thing is we're going to have a platformed out release. So when these films go off on demand and in demand, we'll go into all the digital platforms, the Netflixes, the Amazon Primes, the Hulus, the iTunes, Cinema Now, Vudu, etc. So, you know, the Bigfoot series of films, Tom Biscardi, and I look at those as the same because I like to make that connection constantly, will have a perpetual presence in the on-demand, whether it be the digital platforms or the traditional cable TV platforms. And as I said earlier, I know next week we're going to have some new news about some other films that you have coming that have not been part of this Bigfoot Week package. So it's going to be always available all the time is what I like to start telling people.
That is really great. Now, to answer anybody's questions out there, Mark, about, okay, that's great on VOD, but Mr. Mark and Mr. Tom, when are you ever going to have them on the shelves in stores where I can go and get a copy and keep it in my library?
Definitely.
That happening shortly?
Very soon. We're going to start taking orders from retailers, over 4,200 retailers across the United States and Canada. That's almost 5,000 retail outlets. We'll start making these available, the series of Bigfoot and Bigfoot Lives films from Tom Biscardi.
What are some of the outlets there, do you know?
Some of the Blockbuster freestanding stores that are still available around the country, Walmart, Sam Goodies, pretty much any retail establishment or chain that you can buy a DVD in, we're going to work our butts off to make sure Tom Biscardi's films are available in those outlets.
Mark, I take my hat off to you. My team, my corporate team, thanks you from the bottom of their heart. And keep up the good work, my man. I mean, this has set a precedent. And, oh, by the way, on our debuting day on demand called Bigfoot Week, I got a call today from one of the producers, Melissa, from Finding Bigfoot. This is the third call I've received, believe it or not. And guess what they all ask me? Could you give us some idea of where we can go and find out new locations and use some of your people? Her name was Melissa Compton, by the way. I was just looking. Finding Bigfoot. She's a producer from Animal Planet.
There you
and
go.
I told her one more time. It's a shame, you know, that here they got this guy on TV, you know, doing reenactments, having these town hall meetings, and now they're coming to the real Bigfoot hunter and his team and saying, hey, you know, we're running out of locations and people, and, oh, do you have any ideas? What do you believe? You know, what do you say to something like this, Mark?
Thank you. I guess you'd say thank you for that. I mean, in all honesty, Tom, that's the highest compliment they could pay you without actually making a compliment. They're a nationally, probably internationally known, extremely high-profile, network-backed TV show that now decides, okay, let's go to the real guy and pick his brain, because he really knows what's going on, not some TV show that's trying to pretend what's going on. So that's the highest compliment they can pay you, and that's how I would take it. And as always, it sounds like you handled it in a very classy manner. So,
thanks so much, Mark. Have a great day. Mute yourself out. There's a whole lot of show and a whole lot of information that you can gain on Bigfoot Live, Bigfoot Live every Wednesday night. Again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Mark.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, our business manager, our agent, this man's been with us now for, I don't know, 5-6 years, and he's finally come true. And here it is, without a doubt. So I'm feeling like $1 million, like we should, because, hey, we've busted hump, okay, to get where we are today. And you heard what's happening with the VOD and the iPhones and iPads and this one and that one and everything else, and then the hard copies in the stores. You heard it from the horse's mouth. But it started today. It was launched today, folks. Well, let's put that on the back burner for just a minute, and I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's go to a commercial real quick. Marco?
Here we go.
Marco, am I on?
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Tom, it's back to you, and Mark from Louisiana dropped off the air.
Okay.
So it's you and Rob.
You got it, buddy. Well, Rob, what'd you think of that announcement there, buddy?
I'm telling you, it's all starting to come together.
Wow, man. I mean, I just, when he called and told us, well, we knew it was just a matter of time, but right now it's just blowing me away, you know, to see on the scale that they're doing it. And you know what? They're setting a precedent. It's never happened before on demand, and they're doing it with us. And I'll tell you what, Robbie, it just blows me away, son. It really does.
As does me. I mean, this has been a long and grueling process to get all this stuff together and put all these pieces together. But, I mean, you know, the puzzle is starting to fit, and it looks like we're going to create a masterpiece here.
Without a doubt, Da Vinci. Listen, Van Gogh, I want to tell everybody out there, we got a call, and I'm not going to use the person's name because I want to protect her and her children. But she was frantic, okay? You know, since we put up that hotline, my God, we get calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. And one way or another, they'll either get a hold of me or they'll get a hold of Marco or TJ or Rob. Well, I was doing one thing, and I says, well, why don't you take this one, son, and take out there and tell me what you think. Well, he was on the phone with. How long were you on the phone with her, Rob?
Oh, in 2 days' time, I was on the phone over 3.5-4 hours.
Now, here's a woman that, you know, there's a lot of people in this industry, folks. If you're in the industry, you know what I'm talking about. Are delusional, one brick short of a load, elevated, don't go to the top. And I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just telling you the truth. And some people have got much, much too much time on their hands. And but this woman was sincere, ladies and gentlemen. And I loved the spin that Rob put on this thing. He called me. He says, "Hey, Chief, I'm going out. I gotta do it. I really think we've got something here." Tell everybody what happened when you got there, Rob.
Well, I'll go into the conversation we had. I was called about 2:30 in the afternoon, my time here, which is happens to be the same time zone she's in. She's freaking out. It's the middle of the day, and one of these things is in a subdivision in between some dumpsters on some new construction that's going on. And she says, "It's just squatted down back there, and it's not moving. It's trying to hide." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Middle of the day. 2:15 in the afternoon, sun's out. Guess what? There's nobody in the subdivision. Everybody's gone to work, except for her. She stays at home with the kids during the day." So I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is rather strange. This is something that doesn't happen very often, daytime sightings. You know, I'm picking my brain, and she's telling me all this different stuff that's happening and going on. So the only way to get to the bottom of it is to get up there and see what's happening. So I trek out and pack everything up. I mean, just throw it all in the truck and gone. I get off work in the afternoon, throw it in the truck, and I'm gone. And the plan was to come up there on Saturday morning. But I left Friday night and got up there. I had to know what was going on. I mean, this happened that day. I had to be there if it was going on. I get there and get to the residence. She invited me to stay at her house there with her and her family. Great people. Hands down, there's no comparison, you know, Southern hospitality. All BS aside, these people were very gracious hosts. Invited me into their home. She was scared to death. I mean, completely ecstatic about this. She didn't have any idea what was going on. She just knows that there's something out there messing with her, messing with her kids in the yard. So I get there and I check out the area. This house has four night vision cameras mounted on all four corners of the house. You got one on each of the front corners and one on each of the back corners. And the way they're set up on the back corners is, when I got in there and started looking at the video footage of the thing out in her yard that night, it's standing at the eave of the house looking straight up at the camera. And it's sitting there, you know, just very, very still, not moving, with its back propped up against the house, similar to what it would look like. It's just a black figure. I mean, the quality of the footage, because it was at night and because we didn't get the footage from the camera it was standing under, we got the footage from the other camera on the opposite end of the house. I mean, middle of the night, so you're not going to get, you know, the best picture. And it's standing up there, leaned up against the house, just pondering this camera. Bear in mind, the backyard's completely fenced in. There's this 7.5-foot-tall wood fence running down both sides of the property to the back line, and on the back line, there's a steel iron bar fence, just the same height, all the way across it. She lived in the back side of the subdivision, which means that that was the property line of the subdivision, and there was nothing but power company property behind that. Her house was as far back as you could get in there, and everything else, I mean, for 2 or 3 miles was nothing but wooded area behind the house. So I'm there just, you know, racking my brain, like, this is perfect. I mean, there's a stream running in the back, outside the fence in the backyard and everything. I mean, they're like, this is perfect. So I'm checking the area out, and I'm looking at this footage, and I'm scratching my head while I'm watching this, because I can't really make anything other than a dark figure out in this footage. And I say, well, what we should do, this is about 4 in the morning at this time. I was like, what we should do is we should try and get, you know, a few hours sleep. I'll get up first light. I'll go out. I'll check out the area outside of your fenced-in area here in the backyard. We'll go out hiking. Well, she decided she was going to go get breakfast that morning, while I was out in the field doing what I do, tracking and looking for signs of this, that, and other. And her son stays with me. He's only, I think he was 8 or 9 years old, something like that. So he wanted to come with me into the woods. He doesn't get an opportunity to do something like that very often. So, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I took him out in the woods and was, you know, teaching him different types of trees and all this, that, and other. And I'm looking the whole time following this water line and everything. And I'm looking really close there, right there at the perimeter of this fence, because they've been walking back and forth there, and, you know, and you got images of, you know, blogs is what I call them, because you really can't make anything out of it. You just see a little bit of movement, and it's a dark object because of the distance from the house on the other side of this fence and shooting through this fence at night. So I'm looking the area over real good. I don't find any tracks. I don't find any hair. I don't find anything snapped off, rung off, twigs, anything. I mean, it looks like there's nothing that's been back there. So I keep easing around that little area and grooming that. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go up on back further on top of the hill behind the house back in there and see what's going on. I get about 100 yards through this thicket, and there is a deer blind sitting on the ground. And there is fresh human tracks, boot tracks, where hunters have been coming in and hunting right here. There is a power line with an easement on it running, I mean, big, and, you know, the main power stretch coming off the substation that feeds the whole thing comes down through there. This is like 150 yards behind her house, and she never knew it was there. So I'm looking at it. I get out on this easement, and, I mean, it's all clear cut underneath this power line. There's six stands, deer stands, on this easement that I can see. Just by stepping out into the open, and I see. And all the way down on the end, about 1,000 yards down, there's somebody up in that one. About an hour later, I hear two or three gunshots go off that's real close. So they're hunting deer, so the last couple of days of season. Nothing unusual about that. And I start adding all up. I was like, this just doesn't add up. I was like, we've been to all these different areas, all these different places, and always where they're seen is where somewhere people don't go. There's people been in and out of this. There's ATV tracks. There's golf cart tracks. I mean, from people riding in this area, there's trails cut in here. They've just never went out there and looked at it. And it's just not adding up. Well, I get back to the house around 1:30. And she's already back with breakfast and everything. And I could hear her yelling. When she got back, she got in the backyard and started yelling that she wanted me to come back. She wanted to talk to me. So I get back, and she says to me, you will never believe what happened. I went to get breakfast at McDonald's, went in there, and she ordered breakfast, and somebody said something to her about some kids doing some pranks, practical jokes, whatever you want to call it, and said they had a write-up about it in the newspaper. So she goes and gets a newspaper and reads the article about it. The police are aware of it. They think there are a couple of 17, 18-year-old kids dressed up in gorilla costumes and terrorizing this neighborhood, scaring people. And the reason that you're seeing them during the day is because that's what they're actually thieves. They're breaking into houses and stealing electronic equipment, computers, cell phones, anything that's, you know, small enough they can grab it and off they go. And these are smart. These guys are smart. They're not showing any signs of forced entry into any of these houses. They're actually picking the lock instead of kicking the door in, and they're locking the door as they leave behind them. And they're wearing these costumes the whole time, so nobody knows what's going on. The cops are after them. They haven't made anything public about it up until that morning when it was printed in the newspaper. That's the first thing they said about it as far as public acknowledgement of this going on. And I got to think about it. She said, I'm just so relieved that that's what's going on. I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you. I said, but you don't have an actual creature on this property. I was like, there's just too much activity here. There's too many people in the woods. I'm like, you don't even have to walk a half a mile and you can find somebody in the woods this time of the year in this area because of the hunting pressure. Everybody out hunting, trying to kill deer and things like that. I mean, I run into the three hunters that morning and wasn't even looking for none. In this same area, less than 100 yards from where all this stuff had taken place. And like I said, you're hearing gunshots go off, you've got cars passing by, everything else, all the normal, usual business noise going on. It just happens that where that location is and during the time of the day that she is, that everybody else is at work, these guys are out chasing this neighborhood and dressed up like this, looking in the windows of houses, figuring out where their next big score is at.
You know, Rob, I got to tell you, job well done, son. I take my hat off to you. I'm just totally shocked and amazed that there's crap like this still going on. And I want the word to get out there, all out here around the globe, especially here in the States. You know, back in the early 70s, there was some crazy people doing stunts like this. And I was there with Ivan. I'll never forget it. We were called out on a sighting, and here this guy is above this waterfall. It was up there in Oregon, and then there was the Columbia River there. I'll never forget till the day I die. And they said, you better come out here, man. We were out by the Dalles. That's where it was, where Peter Byrne was. And this jerk is up there going up on the mountain looking like a Bigfoot in a costume. And everybody was there at the freeway, you know, stopping, and there was a road jam. Well, Ivan gets out, and he has a bullhorn. He says, hey, I got a 30-yard six with a scope here. If you don't take the hood off and come down, the first bullet's going in your head. Well, that's with a big bullhorn that he could hear it. Well, this guy takes the hood off and waves his hands up. He says, hey, I'm a human being. Don't shoot. Well, here's, I'm going to spread caution to the wind to these goofballs, these thieves. You better be very careful. There's a lot of people out there, and there's a price tag on your head. Because if you're going out there perpetrating that you're a Bigfoot, and there's hunters out there, knowing that it's hunting season, hey, man, you're fair game. I'm going to tell you that right now. So instead of going out and looting homes and stealing, go out and get an honest job, you morons. It's a bunch of crap. Leave these poor folk alone. You had this woman and her kids scared. Now go out and get a real job instead of tormenting other people and good people out there who work for a living and try to make something of themselves. Do that yourself instead of scaring the people up there in these neighborhoods. Son, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You did an exceptional job. And call me later on. I'll be in the next room. Talk to you later, right. Son. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy has just been so incredible with me. He's traveled all over this country, and he's got a lot more traveling to do. And I'll tell you what, he's the man that when I do relinquish the baton, he will be heading my field operation. There's nobody like him. There never will be for a while anyway. He's just one hell of a guy. There's not many like him. Well, listen, without any further ado, let's get out there to Arizona and talk to Curtis.
Curtis had to go back to work. We'll have him on next week. He went past his 15-minute break. We're going to have to take Tyrone.
Okay, well, before we go to Tyrone, let's go to a commercial then.
Okay, we'll do that. Here we go.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives to the moon. movie.
Yes, right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom, it's back to you.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the movie that started it all for us, Bigfoot Lives. And who would have ever thought it won Best Documentary at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival? Then we went to Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, which won at the Best Documentary at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival. Then we put out Bigfoot Lives 2, which won at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival, Best Documentary. And, of course, they just released In the Shadow of Bigfoot, one of the first films I ever done in my life, and my mentor is in that film, Ivan Marks. That's over 30 years old, and I got to tell you something, folks. All four of those films are available on demand. Bigfoot Week, you heard him. You heard Mark talk about it. Unprecedented. It's never been done before. And guess what? Bigfoot Lives 3 is out and available. That's right. Bigfoot Lives 3. You heard what the man said. After Bigfoot Lives 1, they didn't think that you could top that with Bigfoot Lives 2. And, well, we topped it, and it came back again as a Best Documentary. And now we've got Bigfoot Lives 3. The saga continues, ladies and gentlemen. The saga continues. And all that stuff that you see in the national and international press, we were the first ones on the scene in most cases. They wouldn't give interviews to other people, but they gave them to me and my crew. You'll see them in Bigfoot Lives 3. You'll see all of it. It's available right now on my website, searchingforbigfoot.com. Do you have it up there on Bigfoot Live, Bill?
Yeah, we have them all.
It's also up there. Just click on that button, and I'll tell you what, it gets out quicker than hell. And you'll have a copy, your own copy, to add to your collection, to your library of Bigfoot movies. And before too long, we'll have that up on the Bigfoot Week also. You know, I got to tell you something. This next gentleman, folks, he's a great guy, Theron, out there. He's on the Choctaw Reservation out there in Mississippi. Great folks, wonderful hospitality. And again, don't you think they're having more sightings? Without any further ado, let's get out there to Mississippi. Theron, you there?
Yes, I am.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us.
All righty. I look forward to...
Can you get a little bit louder, Theron?
I said I was looking forward to being with you tonight.
That's wonderful, Wynn. And guess what? We're looking forward to having you tell us what's going on down there. You got the stage, son. Do it.
Well, as you know, in the past, you know, we've talked about all the sightings we've been having here, and it seemed like the creature is walking around in the neighborhood, and even walking around close to the water park and everything, which is right below my mother's house back yonder, and it's only about 150, 200 yards from my mother's house going through the woods. But today I'd just like to tell you that a friend of mine came over yesterday to my house, and we were talking, and he said, I got something to tell you. And I said, what is it? He said, well, there's this lady. Her daughter went fishing at Lake Pushmataha. You know, the lake that we went to visit one day.
Yes,
you were
sure.
Here in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as they were over at the lake, they discovered these huge footprints. And the lady was telling my friends that her daughter said it was Bigfoot's footprints, you know. So we still have that creature around in that same general area. So it was seen after you after you had come to Mississippi and did your research and all that, a few days after you had left, my sister saw it again. Remember where I pointed out the back of my mother's house? It was standing there in the dark, and she said she could make out a figure, a dark figure standing there, and she was feeding the dogs, and she said she just calmly fed the dogs, and I turned around, and the figure that was standing there was gone already, you know, and it we're still having activity here in the same general area, and I think my friend who came to visit yesterday said this news about the footprints, this was 3 weeks ago that he was told that big footprints have been discovered over there at the lake.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
How's the weather been there?
It's been raining mostly for the past 2.5-3 weeks, you know.
But has it been cold, warm?
It's been cold. It's been cold and it's been cold and warm. We have crazy weather. Like today was very warm, and I think it was in the high 60s today.
Okay. Now think about what you just said. All right.
Yeah.
And I've been telling everybody. You know, it's crazy here in Florida. It's been 80 degrees for crying out
mm-hmm.
loud. You know, and I know that it's season and all that, but that's not the point. The point of it is, you know, I got people calling me from all over the country where it should be freezing, and they're saying, "Hey, Tom, we're wearing short sleeve shirts around here."
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now,
yeah,
we don't know
now.
What's going on. You hear me say it all along. What's happening with the clock of these creatures? Their internal clock. You know, they're saying, well, should we go north, should we go south, or should we just stay where we're at? What the hell's going on? It's crazy, Theron.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I want you to share a story, if you may,
all right.
about the courteous, the most courteous people I've ever met there while I was out there with you. Tell everybody what happened when we went to go to get some copies made and fax something, but on Saturday in these towns, everything closes up. We couldn't do anything, but I met somebody. Tell everybody what happened.
Oh, yes. It was by chance, I believe, or by coincidence that you met the secretary or to the mayor of Philadelphia, and she invited you and the Bigfoot crew to come to the city hall. Was it city hall? Yes,
the police
and,
department.
Yeah, police department rather. And you know, you made your copies there. You know, so. You know, a lot of folks saw your trailer with the sign Bigfoot. So people have been talking, and some folks are actually coming out and talking about it, you know, and whereby they were afraid to come out and talk about it. But seeing your presence here has made people want to come out and say, "Hey, I saw something. You know, I heard of something." You know, people are just coming out. You know, I've heard a lot of stories. You know, since you've been here, but yeah, you came to Philadelphia and you couldn't make no copies, and here all of a sudden you met the person from the mayor's office. You know, and it was. That was pretty good because they were treating you pretty well, you know. And I think they were pretty curious as well while you were there, you know.
You know, Theron, I thank you for that. But I got to tell you something else, too. It's not just Philadelphia, Mississippi, or the Choctaw Reservation. It's everywhere we go. We've got to know so many wonderful and beautiful people and kind people around this United States of America. And I got to tell you, it's my ambition. We've been in every state, I think, except for two. And we found it one just as good as the other. And I can't wait to get back there. And I told you that I was going to have the crew out there at in spring, and we are going to come out there. And I'll tell you what, I loved your fish and game guy. That guy was just incredible. I can't wait to spend a couple of days out there with him.
Yeah. Well, earlier you mentioned that daytime sightings was rare, but I like to tell the people out there that my mother and my niece saw Bigfoot 9:30 in the morning walking across my mother's yard, and they watched it for at least a couple of minutes, you know. And it was the real thing, and my mother talks about it, and you know, she was excited, and she described it, and you know, Bigfoot lives, man.
Bet it does. Listen, do me a favor, mute yourself out. We got another great friend of mine's like a son. We're going to go to New Mexico here, up by the Navajo Reservation. But please do me a favor, kiss Mama for me, and say hello to your sis, and tell them we'll be seeing them real soon. Okay?
Okay, I sure will. You take care.
Thanks, Theron. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Ron, the Choctaw Reservation out there in Mississippi. Some great people. Just like every place else we go, they're just so warm and kind. Without any further ado, I want to get out there to New Mexico, Four Corners, to talk to our representation, Dave Ortiz. You know, he paid me probably one of the highest compliments in the world that you could pay somebody in this industry. And he says to me, you know, Tom, I got to tell you this. And he's soft-spoken, well-heeled man, religious man of religion, and says, you know, what you've been through, and you still heel and toe it and follow through, I take my hat off to you, Tom. You sustain, and you make things happen. Without any further ado, Dave Ortiz from New Mexico, Four Corners. How you doing, son?
Doing great, Tom. Thank you very much, too. Appreciate that.
Well, I call it like it is, and oh, by the way, what'd you think about that announcement at the top of the hour?
That is fantastic. I'm just absolutely stoked hearing that.
Isn't that incredible?
It is.
Huh?
Yeah.
First time ever?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I mean, I'm just glued to the speakers, hearing every word. It's like, wow, this is incredible. I'm ecstatic hearing this.
You know, instead of me putting words in your mouth and me telling our listeners around the globe, do you remember the part that I spoke about just now, about what you had said to me?
Yeah.
Why don't you say it so they can hear it, knowing it's coming from your mouth and their
mouth? It's absolutely true. I mean, Tom is he's been the greatest guy to me. I mean, he's I have nothing but compliments for Tom. We've been friends for several years now, and we've had some great expeditions, and you know, Thomas is a true brother to me, and there's just no other person like him, you know. And I would hope that everybody else that's had experiences hanging out with Tom and in research and stuff has had great experiences too, and a lot of fun too. But Tom, you're my brother, and nothing can ever change that.
That means an awful lot to me. So tell me what's been going on out there. I hear that there's activity moving again.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, what's sort of unusual is that in the past winters, you know, things would slow down a lot. You know, we'd hear a report here and there lately. And the area we're talking about is the whole San Juan River Basin that starts in Colorado, passes right through Farmington, New Mexico, continues on through the Four Corners Monument, and then, you know, exits into the Lake Powell, into the Colorado River. But this whole basin, we seem to be getting some heavier activity lately. I keep getting some reports from some contacts, ones that you know, actually. They've been telling me that they've had neighbors have sightings right at the river and on the hillsides above the river which I went to actually today to, you know, check out things for about an hour, and I didn't see anything. I didn't see any tracks. I was hoping I would. I was on limited time today. But what I did see is that on some overlooks looking into the river, I found a lot of, looked like local tracks. You know, I saw some tennis shoes, small prints, and looked like, you know, the parents, apparently. And they're walking in toward the bushes, and what I'm just guesstimating, is that these people are probably the locals that have had sightings or heard about them. They're looking in the bushes for this stuff. You know, they're basically telling a story that, you know, something's happened, and they want to see what it is, too. But there have been some reports from that contact I was mentioning, too. About a week ago, one of the sons was coming from his grandmother's up the dirt road. It was at night. I think it was around 9:30 or 10 in the evening, and there was a little squatch in the dirt road, right in the middle, probably a couple hundred yards from the house. And they stared at each other for a while. I think there was two of them. It might have been the other brother or a friend, but there was another occupant in the vehicle, and they had to stop because this thing was squatted down in the dirt road. But what was amazing, it was small. It was either a baby one or just a midget possibly. But what really struck them is the eyes were extremely blue, very blue. They've never seen eyes glow like that before. So I took that in as one of many reports. But this is about the second or third time I've heard about a little one in the area. And it's very muscular. It's very muscular, very furry, as we all know. But it's very muscular. It's something I don't think anybody would want to do, to spar with, definitely.
Without a doubt, knowing that a chimpanzee's pound per pressure strength is just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
You know, we all remember that incident about a year back about that pet chimpanzee that tore that woman's face off.
Oh, that was terrible. And they did say that it jumped up. That's when they noticed the height of it. They didn't give me an actual height description, but it sounded to be between close to 4 feet. It wasn't very tall. But it jumped into the ditch next to the field, and then it ran off right away. And the son was astonished, but he wasn't extremely fearful or scared. What's happened with all that activity they've had in the past, it's almost like they've gotten used to this kind of activity. So he told his mom, and that's just, you know, we chalked it up as another report, another encounter.
Wow, yeah. Well, listen, do me a favor. We're reaching our... the eighth hour here, and tell everybody I said hello.
Sure will.
And you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your allegiance.
You bet, Tom.
Your sincerity, and most of all, from being my friend.
Exactly. Hey, thank you. Exactly. This is, you know, couldn't have a better friend as you, Tom.
God bless you, and have a great night.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.